Cool. If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to Mark chapter 10. We just started a series last week called Simply Jesus. And how many of you know that Jesus is all you need? All right, six of you do. So why don't you look at somebody and look at somebody right directly, right smack in the eyes and say, Jesus is all you need. Jesus is all you need. And you're like, but I need to eat, and I need a job, and I need a car, and I need gas in that car. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all of these things shall be added unto you. And all of these things, if you look before that in that Matthew 6 passage, Jesus is saying, hey, don't worry about what you're going to eat tomorrow. Don't worry about the clothes that you're going to wear tomorrow. And how many of you worry about those things, right? All you teenagers should have said amen. You worry about what you're wearing tomorrow. I know you do. And so in that, Jesus' response, don't worry about those things. Seek first the kingdom. And so we're gonna get into a little bit of what that means this morning, the kingdom, and how that applies to this Simply Jesus. Last week, Simply Jesus, I didn't give you this title, but if you guys want to add to your notes from last week, Jesus is our prize. How many of you still believe that Jesus is our prize, right? Jesus, he is our reward. It's him, right? And we read that in the passage of the rich young ruler, that Jesus said, there's one thing you lack. And that one thing you lack was what? To me. Come follow me. That's what he asked him to do. He said, get rid of all you have, and we'll get into that. But today, Simply Jesus, Jesus is our priority. Jesus is our priority. Now, I'm not going to make you say that to someone, but I want you to ask yourself that. Today in your life, where you are in this season of your life, is Jesus your priority? Does Jesus have preferential treatment when it comes to everything else in your life? Is it Jesus first, right? How many of you have go to family gatherings and there's like a patriarch or a matriarch in the family that everyone knows, hands down, that person is first, right? That could be grandma, it could be dad, it can be whoever it is. There's this preferential treatment. Some of you guys know what this is like in your workplace, right? So the boss comes in, and I'm talking about the boss. I'm not talking about the guy you work with every day and you pal around with and you talk about the Cowboys losing. I'm sorry, bro. I am not a Rams fan, but I love L.A., so I'm glad L.A. is doing good. It could be an L.A. Super Bowl. That would be pretty good. So we'll see how it goes. So it's not someone who, you know, you just pal. It's someone who, right? When this person walks in, everyone just kind of tightens up a little bit. There's some reverence. There's some respect, right? There's a prioritize that people just start to get to move a little bit quicker. I mean, I used to work in a lot of warehousing kind of situations. And whenever the boss is around, that one guy who was always like slacking somehow seemed to do the right things when the boss was around, right? Maybe you guys have experienced that. But it's that person. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus... Although this might be how we treat Jesus. When Jesus is around, we're like, okay, we're in church. We got to watch our words. And, you know, we're gonna do a little hallelujah today. And I'll say amen to all the right things. And that happens kind of on a Sunday morning arena. And Jesus gets priority on a Sunday. And we could say yes and amen to that because we're here. Right? So Jesus does get that priority. But what about after we leave here? What about Monday morning? Is Jesus still getting that priority? Is he still? And so this is the subtitle for our Simply Jesus message this morning. Mark chapter 10, we'll start in verse 21, a little recap of last week. Looking at him, this is the rich young ruler, right? When he asked Jesus, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus says, hey, you know the commandments. And he begins to list all of these things he's supposed to do. And this young man with religious confidence says, I've kept all those things since I was a boy. Man, I'm good. I'm in then because I've kept all of those rules since I was young. And Jesus looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, there's one thing you lack. One thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Now here's this, friends. And come, follow me. Now, I always like to think about this passage because I trip out because this man, this rich young ruler, had the opportunity, and I know I'm reading into things, to be like the 13th disciple. Like, we've known 12, right? And we know about Judas, and he fell off, and another apostle was appointed in Acts. But this guy, we could have been talking about the 13 disciples for millennia, and here's this opportunity. Come follow me. Sell all you have and come follow me. Verse 22 says, but at these words, he was saddened. The rich young ruler, his heart sank, right? And he went away grieving, crushed. Now that word grieving is strong. That word grieving is not like, oh, that sucks. It wasn't like that. He was crushed. It was everything about his countenance. If you have ever grieved, if you have ever lost anything that has caused your heart to grieve, you may have lost a loved one. You may have lost a job. You may have lost a career. You may have lost a relationship that your heart was wholly in, right? Crushed, grieving. This is what that loss feels like. It wasn't just, oh, I can't do that, and walks away. It was grieving. He walked away, for he was one who owned much property, right? Another version would say he was a man who had many possessions. He was someone who had acquired earthly wealth, and probably in his life, well, we have to believe in his life, reading between the lines, that he was someone who measured his status in life by those things which he had. He looked at his property. He looked at the buildings and the fields and the career and all of those things that he had acquired through his man efforts on this earth as his status, right? And those are the things in his life in which he prioritized. The rich young ruler's unwillingness to exchange, listen to this, friends, unwillingness to exchange the tangible things for this world for the privilege of following Jesus caused him to grieve. I wonder if that's how we even feel on a daily basis when it comes to God. When God is knocking on the heart, or the door of your heart, and saying, I have this for you. I'm opening up these doors for you. Here's these opportunities for you. Those desires in your heart. All those things that you secretly desire. Whatever it could be when you're in church or when you look to the future and say, God, these are the things that I desire for my life. These are the things that I desire for you to do a work in. You look at those things and then you take a calculation and say, but I'm not willing to give up what I have here. I'm not willing to give up what I possess today in order to acquire that which God is calling me to tomorrow. Isn't that wild? This rich young ruler had an unwillingness to make that exchange. How about us? Where are we at with that? Are we willing to make an exchange? And I know in word, we're saying, psh, I'll give it all up for Jesus, right? And that's an easy thing to say, you know, our Facebook posts and Instagram, and we could say all those things, like all for Jesus, right? I'm all in. But you and I both know being all in means when the rubber meets the road, it takes a lot. And I'm with you. Here we are, church. Verse 23. Jesus, looking around, said to his disciples, now, this is, I love what Jesus did this. He took those things that were happening and he began to bring a teaching scenario to it. You got to understand, Jesus was a man of influence. As he walked the earth, he walked with his 12 disciples, and then there were other followers of Jesus that were following as well, and then there was crowds. How many of you know there's a big difference between followers of Jesus and crowds? Do you know that? Right? And where Jesus was, there's lots of crowds. And I'm going to tell you today, and I'm not believing this for you, and I'm not thinking of anyone in my head, but there are many crowds inside churches on Sunday mornings. And what that means is they're there to kind of hear what Jesus has, or they're there to kind of be around Jesus, and they want a bit of what he has. But it's those who stood close. It's those who actually heard the word and then began to walk out the word that were considered followers of Christ. And so Jesus, as he was ministering and walking the earth, so many crowds would come, crowds, and people would, we read all these encounters, the rich young ruler, the woman with the issue of blood, you know, she broke through a crowd to get to Jesus. We see Nicodemus, right, who is, he's a man of short stature, probably my size, just looking, he's trying to see Jesus, and Jesus sees him. He says, "Hey, Nicodemus, I see you. I'm coming to your house today." Right? People were just trying to get a glimpse of Jesus. And so, but Jesus would always bring these encounters to the light and begin to shed some wisdom on them. And so this is what Jesus says. He says, looking around, Jesus said to his disciples, "Hear me, friends, how hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God." Now listen, you and I, as soon as we read that, we check out. Because we're not wealthy, right? I don't have a boat and a mansion. I don't live in Beverly Hills. We immediately check out. I want us to not check out, but I want us to just dive into what the Lord's saying, because God actually brings us into the conversation. So wealthy is abundance of earthly possessions, right? Calculate your life. Consider where you are today. And compared to most of the world, and I am telling you, as United States citizens, we are wealthy people. I've been able to minister into contexts where my children possess more than entire families. Where my family probably possesses more than an entire church that I've ministered to. And to not consider the things that we have been blessed with. We got cars. We got options of clothes. We get to wake up and think about, man, what do I want to eat today? Wow. I'm all suffering because I'm on a diet. I'm like, oh, my selections are slim. But I get to still pick. I get to still pick, right? I get to eat eggs. Gavin will tell you what I get to eat. Gavin's in my corner. He's my Mick. Cut me, Mick. All right. Listen. We get to choose. We have choices, right? Just think about how blessed we are. We get to pick which car we're going to drive in the morning. You know, I don't got a car. You get to pick which bus you're going to get on. You get to pick which train. Right? You can get on the gold line, the blue line, the purple line. We get to pick. You get to pick what pair of shoes you want to wear in the morning. Don't ask my wife about my shoes, but I get to pick shoes. We get to pick. Praise the Lord. We are wealthy people. This is how the dictionary defines wealthy: having a great deal of money, resources, or assets. Rich, right? This is what this rich young ruler was. This is what he had. He had assets. He had a great deal of money. Switch over here, and then Jesus says this, right? Give up all you have to inherit the kingdom. And this is what the kingdom means, right? Here's a definition of kingdom. Our working definition here as a church is the rule of King Jesus. That's our definition. When we talk about the kingdom of God, we believe it's wherever Jesus is ruling and reigning, that's the kingdom. So if Jesus is ruling and reigning in your life, then you are actually an ambassador for the kingdom. Where you step, you are on sovereign ground because you're an ambassador for the king, right? In the life of this church, we find the rule and reign of King Jesus. So the kingdom is here. Is the kingdom at home with you? Is Jesus ruling and reigning over your home? Is the kingdom over your marriage? Does Jesus rule and reign over your marriage? Does Jesus rule and reign over your children? Right? Kingdom. Here's a definition in the dictionary. A country, state, hear me friends, or territory ruled by a king. So I want you to think about that. Any territory that is ruled by Jesus is where we find the kingdom of God. And so this man was saying, hey, what must I do to inherit the kingdom? And so Jesus says, you want to inherit the kingdom? Then you're going to have to sell all you have so that I can rule the territory of your heart. So that I can rule the territory of your heart. Right now, all this stuff you have, it's got you gripped. All these possessions you have, all these domestic things in your life that you need to get your life going, and a job, a career, a car, those are good things. But they're sitting on the throne of your heart. And I need you to sell all of that off, and I need you to come follow me so that we can get that thing up from the root, and then we can address it today. We can address it today. And as we read, his heart was crushed because he knew he couldn't do it. Right? What about you? What about you? Could you do that? Maybe you know even today, God maybe isn't asking you to sell your house and your cars. I don't know. I mean, I know a few people who have done that. Well, I know someone in the church has done that. Could you do it? Could you give up that thing that just has your heart gripped? Verse 24, the disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus answered again and said to them, children, right? My dear ones, listen, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. So now he's not just saying just about the rich and just about money. He's just saying, listen, this thing is hard. Jesus said, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. Are you hearing me, friends? We haven't chosen an easy path. Look at your neighbor and said, this isn't easy. Now, listen, I know popular TV ministry will say, hey, this is great. This is wonderful. This is awesome. You believe it and you'll receive it and then you'll achieve it, right? All of those things. In the gospel that I read, we're not believing, receiving, and achieving. We are blessed by God, but we are pouring out ourselves as a drink offering for our King. We are following King Jesus. And this is not easy. And Jesus himself says to his disciples as he has them intimately in a huddle. I mean, could you just, man, come in, huddle up. And just bring it in, you hear? This thing is not easy. This thing is not easy. How hard it is to enter into the kingdom. How hard it is. Verse 25. And then he gives us this crazy kind of analogy. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, I know we all think the eye of a needle like a sewing needle, but the eye of a needle, there was walls that were built around cities in ancient Palestine. And so there was like these kind of, you might see them in like movies and stuff like that, these almost people-shaped openings that people got to walk through so that the whole city gates didn't have to open, right? There was like these small entrances, and that was called the eye of the needle. And so those were things that absolutely camels and luggage. So if they needed to interview someone before they walked into the city gates, they would let the person in before all of the property and all the other people coming in would come in. And so he would say, hey, you come in, let's interview. After that, we'll see if we're going to open up the gates with all of your stuff. And so this is this picture. Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to get through that thing with all of the luggage and all of the baggage and all of the stuff that camels were designed to carry. It's easier, easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Right? Verse 26 says, they were even more astonished and said to him, and who can be saved? Have you ever felt something like that? Have you ever had a revelation from God? Maybe you're even feeling that right now. You're like, whoa, you know, if you're saying it's just too hard, then who can do it? I mean, if Jesus himself said that getting into the kingdom is hard, then who can do it? Like, this thing's impossible. This isn't an easy walk. This isn't something that just anyone can do. And the disciples come to this conclusion, right? They're astonished. I don't know if I like that word there, but it's in the Bible. I can't take it out. But other interpretations say overwhelmed. They were overwhelmed. They're like, well, then who can be saved? Because here's the thing, friends. In civilizations, going back to ancient Palestine, we see this, that people are evaluated by their status. People are evaluated by their possessions and how polished they look and how well together their life seems to be. And even in the Jewish custom, the more wealth you had and the more prestige you had, then people will say, surely God is with him. Surely God is with that person. Look at their life. They have it all together. And we do that today. We do it in our churches. We even look at the church down the road and say, whoa, that church is big and that church is polished. Listen, God loves big churches, wants big churches. We're headed that way. How many of you would say amen to that? Listen, but we don't look at it and say, surely God is with them. Surely, look at everything is together. And when I look at the early church that we read in the Bible, the thing was messy. The thing was messy. They probably had animals running around and kids running around. They didn't have children's ministry and children's curriculum and all of the things that we are dependent on to have our crispy cut clean service on Sunday morning. And this is how we evaluate. They evaluated people. They looked at this rich young ruler and like, man, this guy has it all together. They probably knew him. He's the young man who had many possessions and everyone in the town used to speak about him. And man, he's got it together. If you need anything, go see him. He's a man of God. You could just see his life. It's blessed. He's got all these things. And we see people like that, and that's how we evaluate them. And so for these guys, they're like looking at the rich young ruler, and I'm like, if he can't make it in, we have this comparison thing. There's this thing where we're evaluating by the world standard, and we're not evaluating by the kingdom standards. Then who can be saved? And I love what Jesus says. Looking at them, Jesus said, hear me, friends. You guys should know this verse. You guys should memorize this verse. Mark chapter 10, verse 27. Memorize this verse. Looking at them, Jesus said, with people, it is impossible. Say impossible. So listen, if it's just about you and what you're trying to do, it's impossible. If you're looking to man, say it's impossible. If you're looking to your boss, say it's impossible. If you're looking to Donald Trump, say it's impossible. If you're looking to your husband, say it's impossible. If you're looking to your wife, say it's impossible. Young people, if you're looking to your parents, say it's impossible. With humans, with man, it is impossible. It's impossible. When we're looking at man's standards, your husband's standards, your boss's standards, the pastor's standards, it's impossible. But with God. Say, but with God. And I say this, I know it's going to be funny. I love the buts in the Bible, right? But with God, when God says but, there's a whole flip side of this thing, right? The whole page just flipped the script, right? For all things, say all things. All things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. And now, listen, I know we can grab this thing. I mean, you guys have probably heard people say this real, you know, you're trying to like run that like last extra mile. And like, all things are possible with God. And I believe God can kick in and help you. Trust me. But we don't use this as a cliche. We're talking about the kingdom here. We're talking about entering into the kingdom. This is what Jesus is speaking about. With man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So when the disciples' hearts got despair, because they're like, then who can be saved? Jesus is like, whoa, 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 whoa. See, you got your eyes set on the man standard. You forgot about me. You forgot about me. I turn this rich young ruler away and tell him, you lack me. And he goes away grieved. And then you guys come to the conclusion, well, then who can be saved? Did you forget that you have me? Because with man, all things are impossible. But with me, all things are possible. Because Jesus was God. He was speaking about himself. And yes, many times Jesus is speaking about himself in the third person because people had to grasp the revelation. We see it eventually when Jesus asks his disciples, who do people say that I am? Right? And all these people say, oh, you're Elijah. They think you're Elijah reincarnated. You're Moses. He says, no. Okay, thank you. I get that. But who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And then we know that revelation statement from Peter. You are the Messiah. Right? The Christ. the anointed one, the Son of the living God. Revelation. With God, all things are possible. Look at someone next to you and say, it's possible. With people, it is impossible, but not with God. With God, friends, this kingdom thing, we got our eyes set on the wrong stuff. We got our eyes set on the wrong stuff. We're talking simply Jesus. We're talking about scraping it all down to the bare bones. And that when we peel everything else away, we peel religion and peel off the world standards and we pull off the church mandates and we pull off everything. It should be Jesus, raw Jesus, right? Raw Jesus. He is the priority. And it's not impossible. It's not impossible because we have God. It's not impossible because we have Jesus given to us as a sacrificial offering for us. We have Jesus. Verse 28 says this. I love this. This is Peter again. Peter began to say to him, behold. Say behold. Now listen. This is a rare occasion. Because normally behold, listen, is held for a divine authority in Scripture. Anytime you read behold, it's like the angel of the Lord appeared to Mary. And behold, a whole host of heaven's armies, right? We see when something prophetic is about to be unleashed from heaven, something divine coming from God, the authority coming and says, behold. And here it's Peter who says, behold. And I want to interpret this in common language. He's like, whoa, hold up, Jesus. Stop. Like, whoa. Listen. Behold, we have left everything to follow you. So he's beginning to compare, right? I want you to know that comparison is a tool of the enemy. Sometimes, I want you to hear me just clearly. Sometimes what God asks Ken to do is not what he's going to ask me to do, depending on the heart condition of where we're at. Say it like this. Maybe Ken has a beautiful 1972 Lincoln Continental, right? It's the only four-door convertible ever made classic, right? Four-door convertible, beautiful Lincoln, right? Think about that. Just beautiful. He spends all his weekends on that thing. He's polishing the rims and the tires. He's cleaning the leather. He's rolling to all the vintage car shows, right? And then I have a 2006 Toyota Tundra. Right? God might tell Ken, you're going to have to give up your car. But I might not tell Jody that I have to pick up my car, get rid of my car. Ken's car is a distraction. Ken's car, anytime there's a Sunday car show, Ken don't show up to church. He's not with Jesus. Listen, I'm just being silly, okay? Whatever. It's not bad if you're going to a car show, but just, right? So the standard that God has for our lives is different because our heart conditions are in a different place, right? I view my truck as a vessel of the Lord. You guys know, if you guys want my truck, you guys can use it. It's the Lord's truck, right? If you want to move something, if whatever, I've lent tons of people that truck, whatever. It's God's truck. That's a church planting truck. God gave us that truck, right? And so that's how we view that thing. And so if for someone who idolizes a vehicle, God might say, hey, I need the vehicle. It's distracting you from me, right? It's distracting you from the things of the kingdom. I don't rule and reign over that vehicle. You do, right? Actually, that vehicle rules and reigns over you. It rules over your finances. It rules over your time. You guys hearing me? We get caught into this comparison thing, and this is Peter. Peter's looking like, whoa, Jesus, you asked that guy to give up everything, and you say if he gave up everything, he gets the kingdom. But you're telling us, hey, you're giving us this lesson. We've given you everything. What else do you want from us? We're broke. We're poor, right? We're having to find money in fish's mouths in order to do things around here. And Jesus says, listen to this. Truly, I say to you, listen to this, friends. This is where we come in. Maybe you feel like that. I got all that stuff, you know. God's not asking me for everything. Truly, I say to you, there is no one. Listen to me, friends. There is no one who has left house or brother or sister or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake. I'm going to do a pause. This is what Jesus is saying just in that. It's not a complete thought yet. But just hold there. You haven't given up anything. You haven't given up anything. Hear me, friends. And hear who said it. Jesus, the Son of the living God, seated at the right hand of the Father. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Everything that was created for him and was created through him. When God said in Genesis, let us make man in our image, it was Christ who was seated there with him. He was in heaven. He has always been the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. And when God the Father, the patriarch of the Godhead, said, son, you're going to have to leave it all to go to the footstool of earth in order to sacrifice your life on behalf of our creation. When you think about the dynamics of what Christ gave up in order to sacrifice for you and I to be brought into this kingdom, what is off limits for Jesus to ask you for? What is off limits? Is it your boyfriend? Is it your girlfriend? Is it your cell phone? Is it your career? House, car. Now, I've never heard of Jesus ever asking anyone to leave their wife for the kingdom. So all you men, whatever. It's a heart thing. Are these people placed on the throne of your heart, or am I? This is what Jesus is asking. This is what Jesus is asking, right? Your possessions. This is what he's saying. Are no one who has given up possession, relationships, careers. When's the last time you've given up something significant for the kingdom in order to prioritize who he is in your life rather than what that or they are in your life? Verse 30 says this. To complete that sentence, for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive, listen friends, 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms. And this is what that's talking about. He's talking about possessions. He's talking about relationships. He's talking about careers. And this is what Jesus is saying. He's like, do you really think that I'm calling you into this kingdom so that I can abandon you and leave you poor and leave you without relationships and without a home and without a career? That's not what he's trying to do. He's saying if you can drop all of that stuff and prioritize him, if you can take all of that stuff off the throne of your heart and allow God to sit there, then under the banner of his kingdom, all of those things will be tucked underneath and be blessed abundantly. And he's not just talking about heaven, because so many people talk, oh, well, when we get to heaven, no, today, here, now, yes, God wants to bless you. Of course he does, but it's a heart condition. Can you prioritize who Jesus is in your life in order for all of those other things to come under the banner of his kingdom, his rule, his reign, right? He will receive 100 times. Say 100 times. You guys are already claiming 100 times my money, Lord Jesus. Now in the present age. So in the present age, houses and brothers, sisters and mothers, children and farms, along with, listen to this, friends, along with persecutions. Because this thing isn't easy. When people talk about God promises blessings, God promises blessings, Jesus here now even promises persecutions. Because when you and I put Jesus first, the world around us is not going to understand it. I think about that rich young ruler, and I think about the thing that was driving him. And I think in today's culture, this would make a whole lot of sense. What are people going to think of me if I leave everything behind to follow Jesus? What are people going to think of me when I leave my house? And when Vanessa and I planted here in East LA, there were people like, what are you going to do with your kids? You're not going to put them in the East LA schools, are you? And we're like, if God has called our family to East LA, our kids are going to East LA schools. Because we're not the only ones who are called to impact the city. Our kids are called to impact the city. And we have to begin to think in kingdom ways, because people are going to look at you cross-eyed. You're giving up what to do what? Oh, your kid doesn't get to play soccer because of what? Like, people begin to look at you and begin to scrutinize you. I'm not saying soccer is bad. Please let your kids play soccer. I'm just saying sometimes these things that we enlist our families in, we enlist our lives in, they take us away from God. And we make no head, like we don't even make a conscious decision. It's like, oh, we're joining this. And it's like, oh, it's on Sundays. And for us as a family, like, can't do it. We immediately know. It's the first thing we look at. Can it happen? Does it happen on Sundays? Can't do it. And I'm not saying that's your revelation. That's our revelation. If I had some other people's revelation, then on some Sundays, I wouldn't be here. Because I would have options. There's football playing. One of the greatest desires of my heart, this is just a small testimony, I wanted my boys to wrestle. I was a wrestler in high school. I loved wrestling. I wanted my kids to wrestle. My boys can't wrestle at a young age. USA Wrestling happens on Sunday mornings. USA tournaments happen on Sunday mornings. So I hope they would wrestle in high school, but no, they want to play rugby and football, so whatever. Okay. I got one more chance with Judah. Yeah. Well, I Mackenzie is, yeah. Her and her aunt are going to be American Ninjas. So she's a spider girl. Listen. But that he will receive 100 times much more now in this present age, houses and brothers, sisters and mothers, children's farm, along with persecutions. And I'm thinking one of the greatest persecutions you and I, I'm serious, this has become a literal persecution. And I understand it, but it's not the persecution these guys faced. The persecution these guys faced was crucifixions. These guys were murdered on crosses like Jesus was. These guys were set on fire. These guys were pots of boiling hot oil was poured over their bodies until every ounce of flesh was melted off of their bones. This is the persecution that they experienced. And we fear our friends looking at us sideways for giving up things for the kingdom. Persecutions, listen to this, in the age to come, here's what's promised: eternal life, the hope of glory, eternity in the presence of God, eternity with the Lord. And let me finish up here, verse 31. But many, this is how Jesus ends this chapter, but many who are first, say first, will be last, and the last shall be first. Right? Those who are first, those who have status, those who have status according to the worldly standards, and just that comparison between the rich young ruler and the disciples, and them looking at him as a man of status. He's like, listen, you're thinking that guy's first. And I'm telling you, in the kingdom, many who are first, they're actually last. And those of you who are here serving God, giving up all you have, giving your all and dying to yourself, right? That portion of Mark 8, to picking up our cross daily. Those of you who are doing that, you feel like you're last here on earth. I promise you, in the age to come, you're going to be first. You're going to be first. So who or what rules your life this morning? Think about that. I really think it's that which preoccupies some areas of our life. Number one, your thoughts. Who or what preoccupies your thoughts? That is ruling your life. Think about it. Is it a person or is it God? I mean, when you wake up in the morning, is it God that is preoccupying your thoughts, or your eyes set on heaven? Is your eye set on the King? Now, I know it takes a lot of discipline and effort to get there. But is it, oh, what is my boss going to say? Oh, my kids. And we're just going frantic because there's someone else sitting on the throne of our thought life. That's what preoccupies us. Think about what preoccupies your time. What are you giving your time to? Yes, I know you got to go to work, and I'm not saying quit your job. But even when you're on the job, it can be Jesus who is preoccupying your time. Yes, you got some things to do. Yes, work with excellence. Yes, work as unto the Lord. But do it as unto the Lord, so it's not going to feel like a job. I tell everyone this. Everyone's like, oh, I want to be full-time ministry. I said, you are in full-time ministry. Just someone else signed your check. It's God who gives man the ability to make wealth. Look at it as God has you in that place for now. Until you get promoted. And many of you have been promoted. Many of you have been in this place and say, I don't want to be in this place, and pray for new jobs. And what does God do? Bam, he delivers. And then what happens? We get in this job and then we start getting into the rut of the last job. And why does that happen? That happens because you didn't make God the Lord of that job. That which preoccupies your thoughts, that which preoccupies your time, and listen, that which preoccupies your talents. And when I'm talking about talents, I'm talking about biblical talents, which is your finances. Those things that God trusts you with. Right? Someone once said, you show me your checkbook and I'll show you where your heart's at. Think about that. Is God involved in that? And I'm not just talking about your tithes and your offerings. I'm talking about those things in which you put your resources to. Are they godly? When God looks down on your resources, does he say, wow, they're doing godly things? Yes, taking care of your family. Yes, feeding your family. Yes, clothing your family. Yes, providing shelter. But what about giving? What about generosity? Generosity is the ultimate sign that God has gripped your heart in the area of your finances. If your life, according to your finances, listen, I'm not talking tithes or offerings. We already took the offering, so don't stress about this. If you live your life, when it comes to your finances, like this, I'm thankful God gave me a wife like Vanessa. She opens my fingers. Yeah, she. Thanks, baby. He knew I needed that. That which preoccupies thoughts, time, talents, right? No longer let people occupy your mind space, your thought. Let it be God. Yeah. Listen, parents, moms, dads, don't let your kids set the pace of the kingdom in your household. Jesus sets the pace of the kingdom. Why don't you stand with me? If you wouldn't mind raising your hands, just as a way to say, Lord, I'm open to you right now in this moment. If you're willing. We don't need any special music. God is here. Two or more are gathered. God is here. And I just saw this. God is omnipotent. He is omnipresent. He is massive. He is huge. And I just saw these little figures of men and people seated on the throne of your thought life, occupying your mind space. And I just saw just this finger of God just flick that small little entity off of that throne. And then I watched the throne enlarge. I see God take his rightful place on the throne of your mind. Lord, I just pray. I pray that take place over hearts, over minds, over lives, over resources, possessions, careers. Lord, that you are our priority. You are our priority. Today we choose to prioritize you, Jesus. We love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, we can give Jesus praise. Yeah, thank you.